Well, I'm sure thankful for everyone that is here today. Trust that you came with an open heart, with expectation, hoping to receive something from the Lord. I know I'm dependent on the Lord today to inspire. I'd like to write the title on the board. I've written on the board, hasten and run. And I'd like to read a story of a man that did just that. It is a familiar story today. It's a story that has captured the attention of adults and children alike. And it continues to capture my attention even after reading it all these years. Not going to read the whole thing, but I would like to start in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. And this is a portion of the story of David and when he met the giant Goliath. And I'd like to start by reading the 29th verse, which is a short little verse, but it sure says a lot. It said, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And we'll slip on down to the 40th verse. And it said, he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near unto the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. He was talking about the man that bore the shield of Goliath. This man just kind of held on to Goliath's shield until it was time to give the shield to Goliath. This was not David's servant holding David's shield. And the 42nd verse, it said, and when the Philistine looked about, and probably when he looked down and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. Ruddy means red in complexion. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I'll give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day, not tomorrow, not when I'm bigger and when I'm stronger and when I can figure out how to get up courage, but today, this day, the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I'll take thine head from thee and will give it to the carcasses of the host of Philistines. They played for keeps back then. We don't hopefully do that too much here, but that's what they did back then. And he said, I'll give your body to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. That's what the giant told David he was going to do to him. David said, no, that's actually what's going to happen to you today. And he said that all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, a God with a capital G, the one true God. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and he ran towards not just the army. Listen to what this said. He ran towards the army to meet the Philistines. So not only was there Goliath, but there was all the army of the Philistines. And it said that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the giant, Goliath. And David put his hand in his bag. He took out a stone, put it in his sling, and he swung his sling around and slung the stone. And the stone, it said, smote the Philistine in his forehead in a way that he fell down on his face on the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we too have a cause. We too have a cause this day to be a victorious people, to be a people that are dependable servants of the Most High God. We have a cause to be part of God's family. We have a cause today. This is our hour. This was their hour. But David's not here anymore. The children of Israel are not here anymore. The men and women of God that we read about in the New and in the Old Testament, they're not here today, but we are. You're here, and this is our hour. And we have a cause to be a light to the world, that the world may know that there is a God, and that it is a God that is willing to live and work in our lives. And the Lord wants us to take on that cause today. Not tomorrow. Not sometime in the future when it's a more convenient season. But the Lord is calling you, regardless of what is going on in your life today. He has a cause with a capital C for you, where we can sit at the table of God and we can enjoy the benefits, all of the associated benefits of being a child of God, and to be able to glorify Him, yes, through our lives. You say, well, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy either. And neither was David. And the Lord God did not deliver with a sword and a spear and with a shield that were man-made weapons. The battle was the Lord's. And the Lord would like to help us to be our strength. He would like us to say, Lord, I'll go. I'm willing. Lord, I hear you calling my name. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes to take the mountain. But Lord, I'll go. I'll take on the cause today. I'm impressed today with verse 48, and I'd like to give it some consideration. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David, he hasted and he ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Get a visual of that. A youth. A man, a boy, somewhere between a boy and a man that was not hardened by battle yet at this time like he was later in life. And here are all these men of battle. Oh, it must have just looked like a mountain in front of him. And yet David had a cause and knew he was powered by a spirit that was greater than the spirit of man. And he looked at that battle and he saw that God was being defied and he said, I'll go. And he hasted and he ran to the army to meet the Philistine. What does hasted mean? Does hasted mean? And David took his time and he snuck up in a very quiet way and he tried to do it in a way that maybe was where he could retreat if he needed to, And he was slow about it, and he was distracted with other things. No, he hasted. That means he had a sense of urgency and purpose, and he did it quickly. And he didn't just haste to walk. It said that he hasted and ran toward the giant that was interfering with the cause of God to give his people victory. And the good news that I want to tell you this morning is, God wants us to be a people of victory. And sometimes we can look out in front of us and see an army. And we can see giants that are bigger than we are. And sometimes we can look at those things in fear and wonder, how possibly can we go? We can go in the power of the Lord. That is what David did here. We all today, likely, if you don't know it, just stick around a little while, all of us have giants in our lives. And the name may not be Goliath of the giant that's in our lives, but they are giants in our lives that rear their heads and impose their voices upon the rest and the peace that we desire in life. That's what was happening here. And we can be blanketed sometimes. We can be distracted. Sometimes we can be overcome with fear, with all of these things that can come against us. Sometimes it's ourselves. That's probably one of the biggest giants we face, is ourselves. One of the biggest battles that we ever face looks back at us in the mirror when we get up in the morning and look in it. And we see the battle that looks like bigger than what we know what to do with. Personal faults, failures on our own, other people. Do you know that the biggest problems we face in life generally involve people? I worked in manufacturing plants for a long time, many years. And you know what I found? Equipment does just exactly what you tell it to do and how it's treated. It just does. If you put grease in it and it's aligned and you treat it like it's supposed to be treated, it does just exactly. But the problem and the challenges that we face in life typically have to do with other people. Whether it's ourselves or whether it's others. And they can be giants to us. Sometimes our giants come in the form of the responsibilities that we find in life. Sometimes it's our health. Sometimes it's our responsibility with our family. Sometimes it is with work. And they're real, and they can be not pleasant. And I'm not here this morning to minimize any of those things. But why is it that we don't hasten and run like David did towards the giants and the mountains with confidence and with expectations? Rather, too often we let those things define us. Too often we let those things determine what our demeanor is and what manner of spirit we are going to have in a given day based on what it is that's out in front of us. Oftentimes we look and we see this gap, this chasm between what I have to offer and my power and my strength and the force that's coming against me. And when I look at that, that is what can often bring on dismay and fear and things that cause us to want to hesitate. That's what happened here in the 11th verse. It said, when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, because he would come out and holler at them every morning and scare them. And when they would hear those words, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And that can happen to us. And yet, the word of the Lord teaches us. Doesn't the word of the Lord teach us that He has strength in time of trouble? Don't we read that? Do we believe it? Do we believe the Bible says that? Probably everybody here would say, yeah, well, we believe the Bible says that. Do you believe that the Lord has that power and help for you personally in life? Well, that might slow us down a little bit in answering. I have a question that I'd like to ask this morning. Do we have the power of the Lord just by proclaiming it so? Can I just get up in the morning and say, today, I am going to be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm going to have the power of God in what I face today, and so let it be so. Is that how it works? Well, I haven't found it to work that way. But here's what I have found. I have found that we have the power of the Lord when His Spirit is within us. That's when we have the power of the Lord. It's when we have allowed His Spirit to live within me and to work through me. But folks, if we live unto ourselves, a couple Sundays ago, we had a message on having an ordered life, ordered by the Lord, and we're still thinking about those things. If we're in the business of living life unto ourselves, ordering our own steps, directing our own steps, living life, well, this is how I want to live life. This is what suits me. This is what I want to do. Look, I know we all live life. We all have responsibilities. I don't try to make everything spiritual in the sense that I believe that I have to fast and pray over whether I should eat Cheerios or cornflakes. It's the Lord gives me space to make some of those decisions. Where I'm going to go shop, and what I'm going to eat, and we live life. We put clothes on in the morning, and we choose when to go to bed and when to get up, and we have to go. We have work to do. We have jobs to do. It's not like the Lord is saying, and I don't mean to make light of it, but I want to help make the point of it. The Lord's not asking us to get a white sheet and cut a hole in the top of it and put it over the top of us and go sit in the corner and play a harp for the rest of our lives. That's not what He's asking of us. We have life to live. We have responsibilities to be up and about and out. But we have to live our lives so that in all that we do, with an open and an honest heart, we say, Lord, how would You have me to live? Lord, if there's something in my life that You're not pleased with, Lord, would You reveal it to me? Because I want Your Spirit to live within me. Lord, I want You to be pleased for me to be a temple of God. I need You, Lord. I'm desperate for You. And if I'm walking this way and You see that I need to be walking on this other side over here, Lord, I'm open to that. If You want me to get up at a different time or go to bed at a different time or eat something different or put different clothes on or watch different things or change the way I spend my time during the day, Lord, I want to be open to that. And I don't want to just be passive about it. I don't want to just get up and say, Lord, if I'm doing something wrong, help me to know what You want me to do different, and then race off for the whole rest of the 23 hours and 59 minutes and 59 seconds of the day my own way. I want to be deliberate about understanding what the Lord wants for me in life. I want to understand what the Word of the Lord says. What doth say the Word of the Lord? I want to be serious about knowing what God wants for me in life, which means that I'm going to have to spend some time and showing the Lord that I'm interested in knowing what it is that He wants for me in life. But when I do that, and I give my life to Him, and I allow Him to order my life, and His Spirit comes and lives within me, that is when we begin to have the power of the Lord working in our lives. Sometimes we can become disappointed. We can become almost disillusioned with God, and we think, well, I asked for the power, but I didn't have any power. And it just seemed like I asked, but then I fall flat. And I ask again, and it still doesn't work. And, well, it may work for other people, but for me, it just doesn't seem like it works. But the question is, the greater question is, what have we done on our part? Have we done our part to possess the power of the Lord? Do we just desire it, or do we position ourselves to receive it? Verse 45 said, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with a shield." Just like we do so often in life. Not what David said to Goliath, but what Goliath came after David with. So often we do the same thing. We pick up our sword and our spear. We pick up the tools that we believe we're going to need to go fight and face life and have peace and have fulfillment and find it in life. And then we'll pick up a shield. See, a sword and a spear, those are offensive weapons, aren't they? Sometimes we go on the offense. We see things that kind of get in our way and we want to overcome, so we go after them with the sword and the spear and our mind and our purpose and what it is we want, and we go after it. And then other times things come after us and we lift up our shield and we try to defend ourselves. It's okay to do some of those things as led by the Spirit, as long as it's not in a carnal way. But we can do that, and yet the power that is associated with the sword and the spear and the shield is limited to the strength of the hands that hold it. No matter how powerful they look, no matter how right it seems, no matter how much we think we've done everything right, oh, we got the edge of this sword. I mean, it's sharp, it's hardened, it's the best that there is. I've researched this thing out. I know everything there is to know about it. I've crossed all my T's and dotted my I's. I've got the best spear that's out there. In the end, when it matters, without a greater spirit working within us, we're just limited to our own strength. And that becomes less than adequate a lot of times. The Lord would have something more for us than that. The Lord wants to be our power. The Lord wants to be the Spirit that is working within us. God wants to abundantly supply all of our needs. But before we can hasten and run towards the mountains and the enemy with expectation and confidence, we are going to have to hasten and run to the Spirit of God. That is going to have to be where our priority is. Sometimes we get our priorities on going and overcoming what's in front of us and miss the part that we need to hasten and run to be filled with the Spirit of God so that He can work through us. You see, David went with courage against Goliath because he had been experiencing the blessing of God upon his life way before Goliath ever came along. This story didn't start with Goliath. First there was a lion and there was a bear. And if you'll allow me, I'm putting myself in David's shoes. Before the lion and the bear, there might have been a fox. And maybe before the fox, maybe there was a squirrel and a raccoon. And maybe before that, it was a tree trunk. Something that was stationary. But in it all, where David found himself, on the side of a hill somewhere with just a few sheep and a sling, David had come to the place where he had made contact with God. And he had worshiped and honored God, and perhaps his prayer was, "Lord God in heaven, I'm just a shepherd. I'm not out on the battlefield. Lord, it looks like you didn't give me a whole lot to look after. I just have a few sheep here. But Lord, I want to be responsible with the responsibility that you've given to me. Lord, I want to protect these sheep. I want to do my job well. Lord, I recognize you as the God of heaven and earth, and I trust you, Lord. And Lord, sometimes there's things that would come against me and these little lambs right here. And Lord, all I have is this little sling. I don't have heavy artillery. I don't have heavy swords and spears. I just have a sling, Lord. Lord, would you fill me with your spirit? Lord, would you guide the stones that come out of this sling? Lord, would you do something for me special out here? He learned how to commit his life and his flock to the Lord, recognizing that that's where his power and his strength came from. And one thing built upon another until one day he was able to hasten and run towards the army and the giant, knowing that the same God that helped deliver the lion and the bear into his hands was going to be the same God that was going to help him against this thing that seemed larger than life. The 36th verse said, Thy servant, Lord, slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And take notice here that the purpose of David went beyond himself. That's key. If we want the power and spirit of the Lord to work within us to do great things so that I can have my way in everything in life, probably never going to find it. But if we can turn our purpose like David did, where he looked beyond himself to the cause that was greater than himself, and ask the Lord to come in and fill his life with power beyond what he had on his own, it happened for him, and it can happen for us. You know, I don't know, and you don't know, what's in front of us any more than David knew that he was going to be king one day. I don't know what's going to be ahead of me any more than David knew that one day he was going to face Goliath. He didn't know that. He didn't know that one day he was going to be king when he was out there being a shepherd. But he redeemed the time that he had with the responsibilities that God gave him at that season and at that time in his life. And I want to encourage us today, let's redeem the time that we have that God has given to us. Sometimes there are times in our lives where we feel like, well, the Lord hasn't given me much responsibility. Well, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, it seems like that what I have in my hands doesn't seem like there's much value to it. I'm just over here a shepherd with just a few sheep. That's what one of his brothers told him earlier. You, where'd you leave those few sheep? He didn't say a lot of the sheep. He kind of tried to rub that into him. And sometimes the enemy tries to make us think, oh, you just been given just almost no talent at all. You with the one talent over there, what are you doing over here? You need to just be. But there was a time in David's life when he just had those few sheep. Maybe he felt alone sometimes. Maybe he felt isolated, thinking about all the stuff that was going on with his brothers around all of those people. But in those times, David was faithful to look to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, would you fill me with your spirit? Would you give me strength that is greater than the strength that I would have in my own power? Lord, would you be my God? And he did that and gave himself to that. And this morning I want to plant this seed before we conclude. Often, like David, the Lord puts us and you in special places in life, a season of life, that we don't understand completely because we don't know what's going to come next, just like David didn't know what was going to come next. And there may be times he puts us in places of life where we are questioning our value. And maybe we feel a little sorry for ourselves sometimes. We can look out and think, the Lord, he must not have much confidence in me. I can't do anything. And we look at our surroundings, and we just see a few logs on the side of the hill and a couple little things that move around, and we look down at our weapon, and we just have a sling. And we look at our little sling, and we look over, and we see all the power that is available out there, and we just have a sling. The Lord wants us to trust Him with the places that He puts us in life, when He puts us in those places, because many, many times there is a work far greater going on in your life and with what you're doing than what you ever realized. You see what happened here? David went from carrying a sling to watching a few sheep to influencing the lives of thousands. Went seemingly right over the top of all of these soldiers that had been battle-hardened soldiers all this time, and yet, just like that, David went from the shepherd on the side of the hill to doing something that had impact on thousands of lives. Why? In his own strength? No. It's because he was submissive and obedient and open to God, for God to have His way in his life. And he hastened and he ran to the Lord even as a shepherd. And one day, he was able to hasten and run towards the giant when all these other people were unable to do that. It wasn't just about David. It was about all of these other people that needed somebody who was in contact with the Lord. And I want to challenge you today, everyone that's here, be encouraged that the Lord has a special place for you. And regardless of how minimal you feel like your responsibilities may be faithful in them. Hasten to run to the Lord to be filled with His Spirit. For the Lord very likely is using your life in ways that you have no idea to positively impact the lives of other people that you may not see for a long time, and you may never see them in this life. Maybe when you get on the other side, somebody comes up to you and says, I just want to tell you something. This is my story. I want to tell you that you remember when you did such and such? Yeah, well, you didn't know it, but that changed the whole rest of my life. And God worked through you because you were willing to fill your place. And it's one of the reasons that I'm here today, is because the Lord used you in your life and your willingness to hasten and run to the Spirit of God, to be filled with His Spirit, that good could be accomplished. Be encouraged with that today. God has a special place for all of us. Let's apply ourselves to learn from the battle that we're in today. It may be a gift of God. Probably is, where the Lord is preparing us for the next battle, preparing us to help and serve somebody else as well as keep us victorious. God can be trusted today. Let's embrace our cross as best as we can. And I'm encouraged with verse 47, and we'll end there. And all of this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and shield. It's not going to be your power. It's not going to be your strength and your intellect and your wisdom. It's not with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's. And He will give you into our hands. Why? Because David hasted to place himself in God's hands. Let's purpose in our lives to do the same. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but today. I trust these thoughts have been an encouragement and challenge to you. I want to be fortified by the Spirit of the Lord that I might be one of His dependable servants. Pray for me. Amen.